Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The party continues here on this Saturday afternoon as we take you around the DMV here on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980, as we take you up to 3:35. Nats baseball comes your way at that time. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up for Game 2 of a weekend series between the Nats and Rangers. Nats back at home for 6 straight after their Wild Wild West road trip, where they actually looked really damn good. Bats were hot. They came back.
That one inning in Arizona was wild.
If they could have that one inning in Arizona be repeated like every inning, they'd be like the best baseball team ever. It'd be amazing.
It's like the Yankees with the new bats.
Yeah, that didn't last very long, that whole little trend thingy. That's interesting.
Are more teams using them? That's what I was wondering. I was like, did the Nats start using them too? Nobody really reported on that.
So I believe Jacob Young, who actually made his return to the Nats lineup last night, I think Jacob Young actually was using that, what's it, torpedo bat?
Yeah, torpedo bats, I think they call them.
Yeah, I think Jacob Young actually used one of those. Jacob Young got hit in his return to the lineup last night, 1-for-3, as he was officially made active, taken off of the IL. That corresponding move was sending Dalen Lyle down to AAA. And Dalen, part of this young Nats outfield that I think just has a lot of juice on the defensive end, a lot of really good athletes. The big difference maker is going to be who can give them the most at the plate. Jacob Young, not that guy to me, but obviously they value his defense. So you'll continue to see him out there. 1-800-636-1067. A lot more to get to. What I want to get to now, schools now free to begin paying their athletes directly. It's the dawn of a new era in college football. Shout out to Judge Claudia Wilkin approving the deal between the NCAA and lawyers representing all Division I athletes. The House versus NCAA settlement ends 3 separate federal antitrust lawsuits, all of which claimed the NCAA was illegally limiting the earning power of college athletes. And guess what? They were right. They were right. So as a result of this, the NCAA will pay nearly, good God almighty. Chris, if you're standing, sit down. If you're in your car right now, pull over.
You're damn well looking at me. You know I'm not standing. Like, what are you talking about?
If you're in your car, pull over, Chris. Stand the hell up. The NCAA paying back $2.8 billion in back damages over the next 10 years to athletes who competed in college at any time from 2016 to present day. Does that mean, hold on, hold the hell on, am I eligible in this lawsuit? Am I going to get a check? I played collegiate sport between the years since 2016. I was on campus in 2016.
Oh, maybe so.
I was on the roster.
Yeah.
Is this just for Division I players, Division II players?
I don't think they do it that way.
Somebody get on the phone with my college.
So this is like a class action lawsuit kind of thing?
Class action lawsuit.
Those usually only benefit the lawyers.
Well, they're paying it to...
Yeah, you might get a check. You might get a small check, but the lawyer's going to get the big checks.
I mean, it's $2.8 billion to divvy up.
Yeah, I know.
They're not... Here you go. You're just cynical.
No, I'm just
You're just being a cynic. That's a lot of money to pay back, though.
Sure.
So moving forward, each school can pay its athletes up to a certain limit. The annual cap is expected... Wow. There's a cap in college now. The annual cap expected to start at $20.5 million per school in 2025 and increase every year during the decade-long deal. These new payments are in addition to scholarships and other benefits that the athletes already receive. This is historic.
So when they've talked about this cap before and proposing one, this is the thing that I don't understand. How does this not put you back in the exact same situation they were trying to avoid before, where say, like, I'm a local business owner. I own like a McDonald's franchise or a car dealership, and I can just put the quarterback on my payroll and pay him whatever amount.
Because this is the school paying this.
The school would pay me to then pay him for his job that he never shows up to.
I don't think. So if I was to sign an NIL deal with Wendy's, my college wasn't paying Wendy's to give me the deal.
No, you're missing the point of what I'm saying here. So this is why college athletes were not previously, when they were not allowed to be paid, this is why they were not allowed to also hold jobs. Because they would essentially get sham jobs, and then they'd be paid like, oh yeah, here's $10,000 a month working at a Wendy's. And they never actually show up to the job, but they're on the payroll because, like, they would funnel the money through a Wendy's or whatever. Whatever it is. It could be any certainly not one of our fine sponsors.
Bottom line is, I think it's tremendous.
You could still do that, though. You could still pay beyond the cap by essentially having sham jobs, right? Like, it puts you back in the same position you were before is what I'm saying. I mean, I don't mind them getting paid, but I don't understand how the cap can be enforced if you could effectively have someone else paying them on the side.
I guess that's a good point. You're not going to be able to stop people from getting paid under the table. Like that's what you're saying.
And I'm not.
Like that's not. Ever
I'm not even
happen.
Okay. But then why have a cap? If you can't stop how much
because
you're getting
you know
paid, then what's the point?
So that's the. People drink and drive all the time. You can't install a breathalyzer in everybody's car. You just got to trust that people are going to move the right way. Like that's what I think this is. Something has to be on paper saying that this is what it is, this is what it isn't. So there's a cap that's going to start at $20.5 million. It'll increase every year. And I think, is it a cap? This is where the gray area exists to me. Is it a cap for each university? Or is it a cap for each sport? Because there's no way you're going to have the same cap for football as you do for basketball. The roster sizes are just massively different.
Well, also, football brings in way more money than basketball. So.
Depends on what school you are, but like that.
Overall, though, the top-selling football schools bring in a lot more than the top-selling basketball ones. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I'm stunned by it. I'm stunned by it. It's a major milestone, though. Like, it's a major milestone, but it's the game continuing to change. And I think it's long overdue for guys getting paid. I never understood the NCAA and their reluctancy to.
Because they wanted to make all the money without paying people
adults,
for their work.
Be adults in the situation. Like, yeah, there's just been a fear to me of them trying to step in and actually govern their league. They want some outside third party to do it. The third party this time around is the Supreme Court. I just don't know. I don't know if this is good or bad. Because I think we're maybe at a point right now where we're too far, we're in too deep in terms of paying guys. Now, and like, I don't have a problem with guys getting paid. I don't think anybody should have a problem with guys getting paid. It's about keeping the competitive balance, and I just don't know if that's going to be possible. Now, if every team is maneuvering under this $20.5 million cap like that, that is the competitive balance right there. If every team is working under the same cap, every team's got the same amount of money to use, it's now on you. That's why if you notice, right, GMs are being hired at colleges, general managers. Michael Lombardi is the general manager of UNC, where Bill Belichick is now coaching. It will be on him in collaboration with the coaches to determine how much money of that $20.5 million salary cap that you're divvying out to a player. And this is where the gray area kind of exists to me. Chris, help me, you got to help me find this. Is this? It's just so much. It's just a long, massive article from Dan Murphy. This came out late last night. I didn't even realize it had happened until I got in here this morning because I just have been plugged out. Man. So the third parties are being eliminated. Right? And that's what this is trying to do, is to eliminate the third party under the table thing. And
they're still going to have endorsements, and those would be like a third party.
That's why it's like interesting, because you could have you're a lure to get a guy to come to you. Like, your pitches are going to have to be so different. Like, if you're a smart school, right? If you know you got a big time prominent five star, you could give them the most minuscule portion of your cap because you know they've got their own endorsements that they can get to where, like, it's sort of like a guy choosing to take a pay cut in the NBA or the NFL.
Well, like I said, I think these top schools are still going to be finding ways to work around this cap. I don't think it's going
to
be.
There's no way to really work around it. You got as much money. You got $20.5 million to spend. It's not really working around it. That's going to be on the player. Like, if the player is good enough, if the player is marketable, yeah, they're going to get more money in addition to what they're getting from the school. That's what this is all about. Like, you can't stop these guys from monetizing off of themselves. That's what I continue to hit on. Like, you can't. This is where it becomes imbalanced. Each school has boosters in, like, collective funds.
Yep.
Those are still going to exist, I think, in addition to this $20.5 million salary cap.
Well, that's what I mean. That's on the side then. That's the same thing I was talking about. We're getting like a sham job. There's the boosters or whatever paying that stuff.
It's all fascinating to me. It's all way above my head. I just wish they would just sit down and stop college sports for a calendar year and lock themselves in a room for 12 months and figure it out. Because it's still, to your point, like, it's cool to have a settlement and say, hey, we fixed it on paper legally. But, like, until you get a real solution in this thing, man, what the hell are we doing? And Chris Russell, me and Chris Russell went back and forth about this a lot. Because Chris, it's a fascinating conversation because I think it's super layered in terms of, I think everybody wants kids to get paid. Everybody wants athletes to get paid. We don't want anybody not. We don't want anybody getting robbed out here.
You know, it should have always been getting paid as far as I'm 100%. Concerned.
It's just, why is it taking so long for us to find a solution that works for everybody? It's not impossible, but they make it seem like it is.
There's a lot,
like,
of people that,
that's the frustration.
There's a lot of people that don't want their slice of the pie getting cut smaller. That's why.
Like, that's, but who? When
people
you say
that are making the most money off of this stuff already.
Like the kids? The athletes?
No. The people that, like, run these programs and stuff. So
it's all ridiculous. Like, I know Arkansas, right? Their NIL collective is, like, massive, right? You're seeing right now a big thing that's happening. Like, James Harden went to Arizona State University. He just donated, I think it was like $4 million to their NIL collective so they can go out and spend it because he wants his university to have the top players.
Oh, sure.
And, like, I think you're going to see more of that. But, like, it's all fascinating to me. I'm trying to.
One thing I was talking about on one of the other shows I did, we noticed was, so, like, baseball doesn't really have a real cap either, right? And you're seeing all the top talent seems to end up in like New York and LA, a lot of the biggest markets.
It's stupid. That's why I hate
But in college, it doesn't seem to have that same equation. What you're seeing more in college is instead of people going to like New York and LA and Chicago,
they go, well, who's got the most money?
No, they're going to these schools that are like little, like they're the only thing in their town. You know what I mean? Like Alabama, you know, Florida Gators,
but
like whatever.
It's all backed by the ability to get more money.
Because like, everyone in that town, they have like one thing they support, and it's that school.
Like,
whereas
like
if you
BYU,
have like Maryland University,
BYU,
well, you've got. Yeah, but like in Maryland, we've got, you know, the Commanders and the Capitals and all this stuff.
I get the bigger point. BYU, Brigham Young University. Around Brigham Young?
What's the Mormon guy?
What is?
It's a Mormon school. Yeah, yeah.
What's around there? Where is that located? BYU, is that Indiana?
I assume it was like Utah or something, but I don't know.
But BYU just like landed the top high school recruit in basketball, Chris. AJ DeBantha is going to be the number one pick. And it's like, why the hell is he going to BYU? That's because BYU threw him that sack. That's why he's going to BYU. Now, I'm still there in, okay, yeah, you were right, Chris. It's in Provo, Utah. UT is Utah. Right?
I've never heard of Provo before, but
it's in Provo, Utah.
I mean, Utah is where
you
assume.
But to your point, Chris, what the hell is in Utah? From a sports standpoint, the Jazz.
What, the Winter Olympics are coming there again, right?
Really? I didn't know that.
I think the next one is in America, is in Salt Lake City again.
You're
next
right.
Winter one.
Because, yeah.
They did it there like in the 90s, and then it's coming back, I think, soon.
But you made the bigger point here, and I think it makes sense. Like, the only way BYU was able to land a player like AJ DeBantha is because they could throw the biggest NIL sack at him possible, to your point. Because there's nothing else out there. And I think like that makes it all fascinating, well, and it makes
that fan base, I think, a lot more ravenous too, when there's like that's
They're
the
happy.
Only
it's
sport
exciting.
They
yes.
have or whatever, like the only team they have there is the school, you know? So
we'll continue to sift through this on the other side of the break. Just getting it to you and trying to cut into this thing surface level. The NCAA, a judge okayed a $2.8 billion settlement. Paving the way for colleges to pay their athletes directly. We'll continue to talk about the ramifications and repercussions of this moving forward. And then I'll give it a local spin here. With the changing landscape of college athletics, do you think some of our local programs, Maryland basketball, Maryland football, Georgetown, will they be able to keep up in this arms race with this new settlement that's been put out there? Every school expected to have a cap of $20.5 million beginning in the 25-26 calendar year. With the playing field, quote-unquote, am I getting this right, Chris? The playing field, quote-unquote, being leveled, does it allow for some of our local schools, like Maryland, who financially speaking is one of probably the poorer schools in the Big Ten, does it allow a university like that to compete with Oregon and some of the other top programs in the conference? We'll take a big picture look at all of it coming back. Real quick here, judge okaying a $2.8 billion settlement. Universities now allowed to directly pay their athletes. How does it change the landscape of college football and college athletics? We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore. BTP will take you up to 3:35. Nats baseball comes your way then. We'll talk a little bit more about the Nats as we get closer to first pitch. Mitchell Parker on the bump tonight for D.C. And if I'm being objective here, Mitch Parker being on the hill for the old Curly W is not a good thing. Not a good thing. We will see if Mitch Parker is able to bounce back in his start here tonight. Just looking at his last couple of outings, talking about Mitchell Parker, he hasn't gone more than five innings since January, February, March, since April. He hasn't gone more than five innings since April. It's been tough. His last three outings against Arizona, five innings, gave up three runs. His start that he had out west against Seattle, 4 2/3, 7 hits, 4 runs, 3 homers. Like, he's just been getting absolutely eviscerated. I hope he's better tonight. What we do know about the young Nats is Cade Cavalli, at some point, I would have to assume, is up and will take Mitch Parker's spot in the rotation. When that happens is just the big question here. Real quick, though, as we continue to talk about, to start this 1 o'clock hour, I really don't know what to feel emotionally when it comes to this new NCAA ruling that we got last night. So the NCAA now being forced to pay nearly $2.8 billion in back damages over the next 10 years to athletes who competed in college at any time from 2016 through the present day. I still need to know, like, do I get a check for that? I really am dying to know. Will I get some sort of compensation for that? But no. So moving forward, each school can pay its athletes up to a certain limit. The annual cap is expected to start at $20.5 million in the 25-26 season and increase every year over this decade-long deal. So it's essentially like they signed a CBA for college football. It's a 10-year contract. The amount of money that guys will be paid, or the amount of money that schools will be allotted to pay guys will increase over, you know, the course of 10 years. I just think,
who agreed on that with the NCAA? The NCAA, and like, they have a union for the player? Like, because that's usually who would be doing that, is like the players' union.
So they have lawyers. There are lawyers.
Well,
that
sure,
are
but who's hiring the lawyer? Like, there has to be like a group or something behind that. Like,
it's been approved, is what I'm trying to get at. Right. So I don't know necessarily who's behind it. Like, that's, to this point, it's irrelevant. The deal's done. Like, it is what it is. It won't be changed for 10 years. It's a win. Whoever negotiated it did a tremendous job. It's a great win for everybody involved, or for the players, rather. I don't think it's a big win for the NCAA, but it's interesting. What I think is going to happen now, and the other part of this that we didn't get to, there is a new enforcement organization called the CSC. And the CSC hired Major League Baseball executive Brian Seeley as the CEO. So his job is described as having to build out the organization's investigative and enforcement teams to oversee all of its ongoing operation and stakeholder relationships. So basically, he will be in charge of governing the schools and figuring out whether or not, you know, teams are in compliance with these rules. And I think this is what you had to do. Someone's got to enforce it. But, like, what I worry about here with all of this, there's just so many schools. There's got to be a team of people overseeing this because there are so many schools that you are going to have to govern throughout the process. Like what was happening before, I just think it's unrealistic to believe that every school will play by the book. It'll be very fascinating to see how schools figure out how to, like, bend these rules. So the timeline of this thing in so June of this month, yesterday, the settlement was approved. On June the 11th, the NIL Go portal launches. Now, that's why all of this is just absolutely fascinating to me. What is the NIL Go portal? I have no clue. So here we go. So the NIL Go portal basically is it's a transfer portal that kind of it's a transfer portal through the lens of like NIL. So like allowing guys to move and get different deals. They're trying to regulate the amount of, I guess, NIL kids are able to collect. I don't know. This is all like super complex stuff. Now that I'm trying to go through it and read it in real time. Bottom line is, I think by the start of the academic year, right? By the start of the academic year, all schools will be in compliance with this thing. I think while they were able to come to this settlement, it's just the beginning of what will go on with this thing. This is the most fascinating, complicated deal that I've ever seen in my life, now that I'm like reading it. It's not a surprise that it took this long for it to happen. What I want to continue to focus on here, though, is how it impacts some of our local schools in terms of, does it even out the playing field for a Georgetown in their conference, for a Maryland in the Big Ten, to be able to compete with the likes of Oregon, USC, some of the new big money blue blood programs that have now been inserted into the Big Ten? How does it impact that? That's what I'm curious of. 1-800-636-1067. So, it's Ben. So we'll pop Ben up here. Ben, I know you're very familiar with the inner workings of the financial situation at the University of Maryland. Does a $20.5 million cap for all of the schools in the Big Ten, does it even the playing field for Maryland?
No, I don't think so at all, actually. And the main reason for this is because in my last year at the university, being a working member of the media, we saw drastic changes to the budget at the university. And we actually got a press release sent to us saying they could no longer provide us certain equipment for our broadcast. They would be cutting certain positions within our Big Ten Plus program. They cut the media meal as part of it. And they actually said in the first sentence, due to the changing landscape of college athletics, these following clauses will be enacted. And that just gave me a really bad feeling of where the athletic department was heading. And sure enough, 2 months later, that snake Kevin Willard departs for Villanova because he thinks there's not going to be enough money for him going forward. But I wanted to make an even bigger point here about why I think this is a really bad thing for people at the university. It's a huge win. You've mentioned that for these players who are going to be able to make massive amounts of money playing for the universities in various different sports. But the real losers here are the people that work within smaller roles in the athletic department. There's going to be sports information directors, equipment managers, people that play really important roles in Maryland athletics or any athletic program for that matter. They're going to lose their jobs because they're not going to have the budget to pay these people.
Yeah, that's the tough part about it. Someone was going to get the short end of the stick here. I think you're voicing your concern for the NIL collective people, the people that are in charge of finding the deals. Jobs were created as a result of it. Jobs now going to be lost as a result of the settlement. Big picture, though, good or bad for NCAA?
It's really tough. I think NIL as a whole overall has been a bad thing competitive-wise for NCAA, because just take a look at the Auburn basketball team this past year that went to the Final Four. Everybody in that starting lineup was 23, 24 years old almost. And, you know, if you're an athlete that's coming out of high school, how are you even going to get an opportunity to play at a school like Auburn or any other school in the Big Ten or SEC for that matter?
You got to be good. You got to be like that. I think that's what that is.
But it just seems like now these small programs are kind of left in the dust because, you know, players will go somewhere locally. Jacoby Gillespie is such a good example of this because he's a kid out of Greenville, Tennessee. He goes to Belmont, dominates there for 2 years, comes to Maryland, gets his bag here, and then once Willard leaves, he gets $3 million from Tennessee. So, I mean, that's kind of the path you have to take, and Gillespie is one of the better point guards in the entire nation at this point. I know it took a couple years to, I guess, develop him there, but I just really fear that we're going to lose some of the competitiveness of the NCAA tournament and college football as a whole, kind of like we saw in March Madness this year.
See,
one season, the Final Four.
See, I think there could be a changing – it could work out a different way with that. So if you're a big-time high school recruit in the state of Maryland and, like, Maryland starting five is full of a bunch of older guys and you don't think you'll be able to crack the lineup, does it make you go to George Mason instead? And now George Mason, a smaller school that probably wouldn't be getting tournament buzz – are they now more competitive? Do you see what I'm saying with that?
Yeah. I totally get that as well because they have a great coach in Skin over at George Mason. So I think that is ultimately a good thing for a program like that. And we've seen some of the moving parts. George Mason just had a fantastic year.
Yeah, for sure. Even like with DeBanster going to BYU, like BYU would never be able to land a prospect of his caliber before.
That's just nuts to me. But, you know, that's kind of the college athletic landscape we live in right now. BYU is going to be an absolute threat next year. It's going to be interesting to see, though. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of seeing, you know, how this all plays out. But, you know, I just have to stay positive and hope that the competitiveness stays to what it was in the past.
For sure. Appreciate you as always, Ben. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I see some of you all starting to line up on the phones for this. What is the impact of this new ruling? What type of impact will it have on college athletics? And do you worry that the local programs here, Georgetown, Maryland, Mason, Tech, are they going to be able to compete in this ever-changing landscape of college football? Your call's next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up to 3:35. Nats baseball comes your way at that time as we begin to ease our way into this 2 o'clock hour. A couple of different items that I want to chew on. Obviously, we'll continue to talk about the massive college football news. The Commanders had their OTAs continue this week. We'll let you hear from defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. I thought his presser was absolute gas. Per usual, always love getting to hear him talk and just be honest and transparent the way he always is. He's going to be a head coach sooner rather than later. I know we're all talking about Cliff Kingsbury potentially being that assistant that gets a head coaching gig here sooner rather than later for the Commanders. But I think Joe Witt Jr., in terms of just being able to lead guys, I think he's right up there with some of the best. I just think for the Commanders in this year, you're going to lose. If you play well again this year, if you make it to the NFC Championship game again this year, and your defense takes a step forward the way that Joe Witt is anticipating, maybe, just maybe, you lose both Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury next year. 1-800-636-1067. Jim is in Alexandria, wants to chime in. What's going on, Jim?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, for sure.
First of all, with this new college ruling, I think it may be the death of walk-ons as far as college sports. If it appears that a walk-on cannot bring any value to a program, college is not going to want to pay them. Granted, coaches have not shown that, they will only tolerate walk-ons and see if they will bring any value. They're never recruited for any reason. So
I'll say this, right, Jim? There's a such thing as a preferred walk-on. Now,
I understand that.
So those cats, I would think, when they're brought on, they're being looked at with a little bit more careful of an eye. I do get your point, though.
I think it's going to probably mean that there'll be less chances of preferred walk-ons and pure walk-ons that just love to play the sport and not are in it for the profit. I just think that's going to disappear. If you remember the movie Rudy,
yeah,
I mean, the whole school was behind Rudy, you know, in the end, and he wasn't getting anything maybe except books or tuition, but nothing really meaningful.
He got to play in a game.
He loved the sport.
He got to play in a game. That was what he got.
Yep. And I think those days are going to disappear.
We'll see. I think all those stories will. I think to your point, like, it, someone's got to get cut out and get the short end of the stick. And naturally, there'll be less opportunities for those type of people. But I just go by, if you're good, like, you're going to, if you're, trust me, doesn't matter what type of program you're at, what type of sport you're playing. These coaches are all trying to keep jobs. Coaches are all trying to win and put forth the best team. So if you're a walk-on and you stand out, doesn't really matter. You'll soon go from walk-on status to being paid player status. I see what the point you're trying to make here, though, but I think overall, like, in that situation in particular, talent normally just overrules.
Well, that could be true. Just wanted to bring that up as
a
point.
No, for sure, because, there's someone's going to get screwed in this situation. And like that, and I think that's the bigger picture thing here. It's like, it ain't fair for everybody, but I do think it was needed for the sport to be able to move forward in a positive way. This is the first that you're seeing of. This is the first settlement. I think there will be plenty of more tweaks between now and the end of that 10-year CBA that they negotiated on, for sure.
And another thing, the point you brought up, was who's behind this? Is it a union? And if it is a union, unions usually require dues.
It is not. It is not a union. I looked it up.
Have to pay those dues.
So there's no. It's just not the a lawyers, union, right?
Yeah.
It's just the lawyers representing.
No, it says the House, and I'm trying to determine if that's the House of Reps in D.C. here, or if it's something else. But it says the House versus NCAA was the case. So I'm trying to figure out what the House is defined as.
Probably the House of Representatives.
That's what it might be, but I don't want to say that for sure without knowing that's what that means.
No, it for sure is. But this is a national issue, so you know we're in We're in D.C. It's a Supreme Court issue. So, like, I believe that would involve the House, right? I ain't trying to relive my government class that I slept through during my
Anyway, I do appreciate you taking my call, and
Just
sit back and listen to the rest of your show. It's been very informative.
Appreciate you, man. So, it's all baffling to me. Because, like...
It is not the House of Representatives. It is apparently was initiated by an Arizona State swimmer named Grant House. So his name is House,
Oh!
Like the doctor on that show or whatever, right? His name is House.
So... Wait, what? I'm so confused.
But it's a class action lawsuit, which means
there's thousands of athletes.
There can be like a thousand or more, or whatever plaintiffs. But he's the one that initiated it, apparently. So it's in his name.
Jeez. Well, man, there we go. 1-800-636-1067. Either way, it's a tough break. So. When we come back, I want to let you all hear from someone that's a lot smarter than me, Pete Thamel of ESPN. That's about a minute, 45-second bite of him kind of explaining what this settlement means for the NCAA and parity within college sports. We'll let you hear from Pete Thamel next on The Fan. +1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. We'll take you up to 3:35. Nats baseball comes your way at that time. Mitch Parker on the bump for DC. It is a 4:05 first pitch. Like I just said, pregame coverage just rolling at 3:35 right here on The Fan. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up with Nats on deck. What I want to get you warmed up with now, if you've got it ready, Chris, it is Pete Thamel of ESPN giving his explanation as to what happened last night, the class action lawsuit officially being settled as a judge okays a $2.8 billion settlement, paving the way for colleges to pay their athletes directly. We've been talking about it for the past couple of segments. Judge Claudia Wilkin approved the deal between the NCAA and the lawyers representing all those D1 athletes. So there's the answer to my question. It's only for Division I athletes. So me as a burly, out-of-shape, unathletic, former Division III athlete, I thought maybe I get a check.
Well, it said this.
Clearly not the case. So it's just for Division I athletes, which I think is stupid.
So the salary cap is for Division I. Did it say that the payout is only Division I?
So the lawyers are representing all Division I athletes. So there's that. Here's Pete Thamel, though, trying to break down and discuss what the settlement means for the NCAA and the parity that exists in college athletics.
Well, Jay, we should not overlook the historic nature of Friday night's settlement. It allows college athletes to be paid directly, revenue to be shared with them for the first time in the history of college sports. The athletes that have long been the engine of this billion-dollar industry are now going to formally get their share. That is significant and should not be overlooked in all this. How it's all going to work pushing forward seems to be, from talking to people around college sports last night, a bit of a transfer of issues just into a new paradigm. Instead of worrying about illicit payments, people are now worried about outside of the $20.5 million cap, how people are going to manage name, image, and likeness payments from there. So I think it'll be a new chaos. And the question of the settlement will be, will it settle down a landscape that has been chaotic, been called the Wild Wild West, I'm sure you've heard, Jay, for a long time? Will a new rule structure, will a new governing structure bring a little bit of serenity and a little bit of peace to the college sports landscape?
I don't know. I think new chaos is more in line with what we're headed for, like you said. What will this new salary cap do for parity once it takes effect next year?
Well, in theory, and we see it in the NFL and other sports, that salary cap should, if run purely, elicit some parity. But the issue, the thorny thing that coaches are extremely concerned about, I get calls about it all the time, will be how name, image, and likeness deals outside of the salary cap are managed. The College Sports Commission has brought in a new CEO. He was announced around midnight last night, an MLB executive named Brian Seeley. He's going to oversee this and have an unusual amount of power, much more so than the NCAA did adjudicating these types of cases. He will rule in many of them.
So that is Pete Thamel doing his best to kind of parse through what this means. What he said there at the end is what me and Chris have been talking about here throughout the duration of this show. This salary cap is enforced with the thought that it would create parity. But in reality, it's not, because there's a lot of trust that is being, what's the best word? There's a lot of trust that's being instilled in the universities and all the different parties to hope that everybody plays by the rules. I just don't think it's realistic that everybody will be able to play by the rules in this. So, yes, every school, Alabama's got the same salary cap as Boise State. You know what I'm saying? Does that kind of make sense in terms of?
I think the issue, though, is for all sports. So I think what we're going to see is teams that have these major football programs, if you had a really good swimming team or a really good tennis team or whatever else you did that wasn't like one of the big basketball or football, those teams might be going away. You know, those might be going to schools that do not have big football teams where all the money's going to. Because if there's a cap now, those programs are probably going to get squeezed so they can put every dollar they can into those football programs.
That's the part where I'm not understanding it all the way, and that number. But think about it. How much NIL money do you have to divvy out to a swimmer?
Yeah, you're still paying to fly them to all their meets and feed them when they're out of town, like all that stuff, the hotels.
That $20.5 million I don't think is a part of. I think what that $20.5 million represents is the spending on the roster, on the athletes. That's not any outside expenses like flights and hotels, which you would think that's some expensive stuff. That it would be a part of it. But what they're saying here, that $20.5 million is just to the rosters. So here's my thing with it. I'm trying to think of a school that's like a good example. Let's just use Maryland. Their most popular money-generating sport, I would think, is basketball. Now,
I think they put more into the football team, but the basketball is the better team, if that's what you're trying to say.
So this is where it gets like tricky, right? If you're, and we're doing a bunch of hypotheticals here because we're trying to parse through the news as it's just coming out. Say you're Maryland, right? And the new coach here at Maryland, Buzz Williams. Buzz Williams and Mike Locksley both have the chance to land the number one recruit in their respective sport. Who gets to decide where all the money's going? Like where the big, you get what I'm saying?
Looks like that money's been going to the football teams since they moved to the Big Ten.
But I'm saying now that you have a salary cap and all the sports are being forced to spend under this cap, if you're Buzz, like, and you got the number one point guard recruit that in the country, the number one recruit in the country wants to come to Maryland, but also the number one football recruit wants to come to Maryland. Maybe that's a bad example because I guess they'll just pay them both.
I think UNC might be a good one too. Now they got Belichick running football, basketball school.
I'll tell you what, Chris, that's going to be a disaster. That's going to be a disaster.
I'm just saying, where's the money going
to
go?
I'm going to do some more reading during this commercial break to try and get us up to speed on this, but it feels like every time we come back from commercial, there are just more and more questions that arise when it comes to this. So we'll continue to chew on this next. The big college football news that came out late last night, Judge Claudia Wilkin approving a deal between the NCAA and the lawyers representing all Division I athletes in this House versus NCAA settlement. It ends in three separate federal antitrust lawsuits, all of which claim the NCAA was illegally limiting the earning powers of the college athletes. As a result, the NCAA is going to be forced to pay back $2.8 billion in damages over the next 10 years to athletes who competed in college at any time from 2016 to now. What impact does it have on the ever-changing landscape of college football? We'll continue to give you the details on this major news next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.